Gretel is Edith and Jeff Lapthorne's daughter. Where are you in the one
number
near,
two?
Number two. she doesn't look like she just never ages. Has been with YWAM for a long time. Yeah. How many years?
Over 20 years.
Yeah. Went to Indonesia with YWAM, met her hubby, stayed, and they both minister, and they have
three
children. Yeah. Oh, that's the other lot that's got the six.
Yeah. Number one.
That's number one. So, yeah, so we look forward to hearing Gretel and share what God's laid on your heart.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Gretel.
So, this morning I have a bit of a PowerPoint.
Get it on.
Loaded. Okay, oh good. So we'll get that set up. Okay. So this morning I felt to share about God's calling on our lives and seasons and timelines. And we're going to look a little bit at Joseph and his calling and his timeline. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. And I won't read a lot of it because it's quite a big section of Genesis, from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. But I'll just read a few verses from Genesis 37. And so it says, "So Jacob lived in Canaan, the country in which his father had settled. And this is the story of the descendants of Jacob. When Joseph was a boy of 17, he used to accompany his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, when they were in charge of the flock, and he brought their father a bad report on them." Okay, so you can see Joseph was 17 years old, and he had special jobs that his brothers didn't get to do, and the relationship wasn't so good with his brothers. And then we see in verse 5, "Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him still more. He said to them, 'Listen to this dream I have had. We were on a field binding sheaves, and my sheaf rose on end and stood upright, and your sheaves gathered round and bowed down before my sheaf.' His brothers answered him, 'Do you think you will one day be a king and lord it over us?' And they hated him still more because of his dreams and what he said." And he had another similar dream. And so this was back when he was only 17. And you can see from the picture that he went through a lot of ups and downs, and it was quite a few years before this dream came true. And so I don't know if it's big enough for you to read there.
Yeah.
So he, as you can see, his brothers actually wanted to kill him, but they ended up selling him as a slave, and he went off to Egypt, and there things were going well, and then with living with Potiphar, but then Potiphar's wife wasn't very happy with Joseph, and then he was in prison, and then while he was in prison, he met Pharaoh's butler and interpreted the dream, but the butler forgot all about him. But finally, after Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph was able to interpret that dream, and he was made number two in the land. And so if we skip towards the end, to Genesis 42, verses 1 to 9, we see that the dream that he had when he was 17 did come true. And so when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, he said to his sons, Why do you stand staring at each other? I've heard that there is corn in Egypt. Go down and buy some. So the famine was so bad, it wasn't just in Egypt. And so Joseph's brothers went to Egypt, and it says, the sons of Egypt came down with everyone else to buy corn because of the famine came. And so Joseph was governor of all Egypt, and it was he who sold the corn to all the people of the land. Joseph's brothers came and bowed to the ground before him. And when he saw his brothers, he recognized them, but pretended not to know them and spoke harshly to them. Where do you come from? He asked. From Canaan, they answered, to buy food. Although Joseph had recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. He remembered also the dreams he had had about them. And so he realized that this dream has finally come true, and his brothers were all there and bowing down, and he had become the number two person in Egypt. And so it's interesting as we, as I'm sharing, I'm going to be sharing about my calling. This, if you're interested in looking back at this, the slide I showed, it comes from the website here, The Calling Journey, Build Your Timeline. And it can be an interesting thing to think about your own journey and how God has called you and the process that you've gone, and the ups and downs, the valley times, the desert times, and these are different ways that God prepares us. And when Joseph's father dies, his brothers are all scared and think that Joseph will now pay them back, but Joseph says that God used this all for good. And so God was in it all the way along. And if Joseph hadn't been sold as a slave, he hadn't ended up in Egypt, then not just Egypt would have starved in the years of famine, but all the surrounding country, including Joseph's own family. And so sometimes when things happen to us that we don't understand, when we look back, sometimes we can see that how God is working in it and meant it for good. And so I'm going to share a little bit of my own journey. So I was born in 1974 in Papua New Guinea. And growing up in Papua New Guinea, I had friends from many different countries. One of my best friends was from the Philippines. And then when we moved to another town, I had friends from India, Pakistan, America, New Zealand, Germany. And so without me realizing it, God was giving me a heart for the nations at a young age. And also, as a young person, I never dreamed that I would become a missionary. But we had a lot of contact with missionaries and would often come for dinner. And so God was sowing seeds in my life without me realizing as a young child. And then when I was 14, I moved to Toowoomba in 1988, and some of you were at what used to be called Rangeville Uniting Church at High Street. I would remember my family arriving in Australia, and I was just, as I said, 14, and that was quite a big change for me, and it was a big culture shock adjusting to living in Australia. And back then, Toowoomba was not multicultural at all. But in my school at Centenary Heights, there was like one person from Spain doing an exchange program. That was it. There was like no other people. And coming from Papua New Guinea, I would like see the Aboriginal people, and kind of I like felt a connection, but they didn't feel a connection with me. And so it was quite a difficult time, but through that, it was a time when my relationship with God really grew in the way that I came to know Jesus as my best friend. And I remember walking home from school, chatting to God, and because I didn't have any other like close friends, but I didn't feel they understood me and could connect with me. But it was a time that God used to really solidify my faith in God. And also going to Rangeville and the youth group and the preaching, there are lots of amazing pastors and youth leaders that their messages just really were seeds being sown into my life to strengthen my faith as a Christian, prepare me for the future, and also just growing and understanding the Word of God. And so my time at Rangeville really was a time of preparation. And so after I finished high school, I went to university and studied occupational therapy. And then I came back to Toowoomba and started working at Bailey Henderson Hospital. And having grown up in Papua New Guinea, I'd always had a dream to travel around the world and visit those countries that some of my best friends had been from. And so I saved up my money, and in 1997 I went over to the UK, and I did a traveled around Europe for a couple of months with some friends, and then they came back to Australia, but I stayed on and worked in England and then in Wales. And it was during this time that I did an Alpha course, and this was the time where God started challenging me that I shouldn't be keeping my faith to myself, but I really needed to share the good news that I had with other people. And so that is when I started looking at different mission agencies and looking at different options. And I thought, I found out about Youth with a Mission and their discipleship training schools. And they only go for 6 months. I thought, oh, 6 months is a good amount, not too long. And so also being in Europe, I'd meet all these people and they'd say, have you been to Darwin? Have you seen Uluru? And I'd be, oh, I haven't seen anything in Australia. And so I felt God was saying I needed to come back to Australia. So I came back, and I'd never been to Perth. So I went over to Perth to do my discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. And that was an amazing time of surrendering to God and being transformed, and seeing God move and being used by God. And after that 6 months, I felt God calling me to commit to another 2 years. And so I joined staff and did some more training schools. And on one of these schools, a Crossroads Discipleship Training School, I was one of the team leaders, and we took a team to Malaysia and to Kuching. And it was while I was in Kuching that God spoke very clearly, and he said, I'm calling you to a place like this, but harder. It was very specific that it was going to be harder. And so after that I prayed about it, and as I prayed more, I felt that God was calling me to Indonesia. And YWAM Perth had two church planting teams in Indonesia. One was in Malang and one was in Lombok. And as I prayed more, I felt like that God was calling me to join the church planting team in Malang. So so prior to that, I did a School of Frontier Missions and my TESOL training. And so TESOL is teaching English to speakers of other languages. So it trains you to be an English teacher, and that can help you get your visa to go into certain countries. So in 2003, I moved to Indonesia. And so the first 2 years, I was studying the language and learning the culture. And then I got a teaching visa and started teaching English. And so after 4 years, I started to feel like that God had something different for me, and I wasn't sure what, but I started to feel like Malang was not where I was meant to be. And then I went to a leadership development course in Bali, and that's where I met my husband, Johnny. And so the following year, we got married. And so when I moved, so my husband, he was in Kalimantan. At that time, he was in Sambas. And but he felt when we got married for us to move to Singkawang. And when I got there, I realized that I was back on the very island where Kuching is. So Kuching is in the Malaysian part, and you can see across the border. And that was the place where God had called me and said he was calling me somewhere similar but harder. And so it was similar in terms of the culture, the climate, very similar, and the people group, the ethnics, there's like Dayak and Chinese and Malay people on both the Indonesian and the Malaysian parts of the island. But the harder was that there were like no foreigners, especially no Westerners, and so no Western food, no Western restaurants, no supermarkets. So very few facilities, and yeah, no other English speakers. It was kind of just me. So whereas in Malang, I'd had my team that we were all being sent out from Perth. So when we'd have fellowship, it was all in English, and we had things in common. And if, you know, I got a craving for a Vegemite sandwich or a roast, I could visit my teammate from Australia. But in Malang, it was. It was just me. So it was quite a challenge. But it was also, yeah, God was preparing me for the future and how he wanted to use me to reach the lost people in Kalimantan. And before I continue with my journey, I just want to mention about a bit about my husband's journey. So, of course, he had his own calling from God, and he, as a teenager, he was born again through Youth for Christ, and he started going to these all-night prayer vigils. And it was during one of these prayer vigils, he would have been like only, I don't know, 16 years old, that he had this really clear vision of a field, and then the field split in half, and one half was just wild grasses, and the other half was wheat. And when Johnny saw this, he'd never seen wheat in his life. So he didn't know exactly what wheat was. And then in the field of wheat, this house appeared, and this white man came out. He had a white beard, and he said, "Come into my house." And then Johnny went into the house, and the man's wife said, "Do you want a cuppa?" And he offered him a cup of tea. And then the man's wife said, "You are going to marry a Westerner." And then the vision ended. And at that time, Johnny wasn't thinking of marriage. That was the last thing on his mind. And but he just stored that away. And then he got involved in YWAM, and over the years, whenever he met a Westerner, sometimes he thought, maybe she's the one, maybe that's the one. And so over the years, he had some relationships with some other Westerners, but they were not the one. And then he was like already in his 40s, and he was in Sambas, and all his staff had left, and he was like feeling a bit hopeless and stuff. And so he prayed all night, and he said, "God, if you're not going to give me a wife, give me a fresh vision." And God just spoke Papua New Guinea. And so he thought that was a vision, that maybe God wanted him to go to Papua New Guinea. And so he started making inquiries about that, but none of them kind of worked out. And so anyway, it wasn't until we were doing our pre-marriage counseling that Johnny discovered I was born in Papua New Guinea. And then it suddenly clicked. He was like, "Oh, that's what God was saying." And he said Papua New Guinea. And that, so different ways God had spoken and confirmed that I was the one for him. And so just the way God brings two people together and how our different callings cross paths. And so, yeah, so God had been preparing me and leading me to Indonesia and then leading me specifically to Singkawang. And at the same time, God had been preparing Johnny. And so Johnny, similar to Joseph, had to wait like 20 years before his dream came to be. Johnny's vision, it was like, because he was in his 40s when he finally got married. So, yeah, so I encourage you, if God has spoken to things to you and you haven't seen them come to pass, sometimes God's timing is not our timing, and sometimes they take longer than we expect. So, yeah, so there I was in Singkawang, before that. So, yeah, so in Singkawang, I again was teaching English, and then we started a family, and God blessed us with three children, so Joel, Gideon, and Johanna. And one of the verses God gave me when I came to Indonesia was, blessed to be a blessing. And because of Rangeful Community Church continuing to bless us as a family, we've been able to be a blessing in Indonesia and in Singkawang. And so starting a family, as many of you have had families, that was a new season of being a wife and a mother. And then, but once my children started school, I felt like God was calling me to do more in teaching English and for me to start training other English teachers. And so that's when I started running the TESOL courses, the Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages, to train up other English teachers, because there's a real shortage of good English teachers. But at the same time, I also had my responsibilities as a mother and teaching English to my own children. And yeah, when Joel was born, I was so glad I had someone to speak English to. So that's probably why Joel's English is so good, because he was the only person I could speak English to. Yes, and now, if you were here on Sunday, you will know that I'm going through a new season, and because Joel has finished high school, and he's moved to Toowoomba, so we're starting the season of the empty nest season. And so all through this, yeah, God has led me and given me different responsibilities, different ministries, different ways to reach out to people. And now I'm kind of in a season where there's a new family just arrived in Singkawang from the Philippines, and they have three children. And so now I'm often finding myself in the role of a bit of a mentor, or sharing my experiences and helping new families adjust to living in Singkawang. So I hope, as I've been sharing this, that it reminds you, if you reflect and think about your own calling and what plans God has had for you. For some of you, you might be like, you know, in the later season of your life, and maybe as you look back and reflect, you can see, oh yeah, that's why I went through that, because God had this for me. And then for others of you, maybe there's some, maybe only recently become a Christian, and I just want to encourage you that God has good plans, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And this was a verse that God gave me when, I don't know if you, how many of you were around when we first got this land and we planted the trees down on the boundary, and we were encouraged to write a verse on and tie it on the tree, and this was the verse God gave me then, which I tied on the tree. And this is, yeah, a verse that God has continued to remind me of the plans he has. And so God has great plans for each one of you, and God has used many of you, have been a blessing over the years to myself, my family, and to, you know, sisters in Christ. And I just really thank you for this opportunity. And I hope I'll have time to catch up with you over the next few weeks while I'm here in Toowoomba. But yeah, I just really encourage each one of you that, yes, God has amazing plans. And if you're still not sure what that is, yeah, just keep praying and doing the next step God leads you to, and know that, yeah, God will lead you step by step as he's led me. So I'd just like to close in prayer. And then if any of you have any questions, you could ask. But yeah, let me just pray for you. Dear God, I just thank you for these amazing ladies here at Word Cafe. And thank you for, yeah, the blessing that they've been in my life and my family's life, and the good friends have been to my mother and to me over the many years that we've been involved here at Rangeville. And Lord, I thank you for this ministry here. Lord, I pray for the new ladies that are coming to Word Cafe, Lord, that they will be embraced by this ministry. And Lord, that you will use this group to encourage the ladies here to really embrace whatever you're calling them to do, be involved in. And I pray that you'll continue to lead and guide them. And I lift up especially the ladies that organize everything, and I just pray your blessing over them, especially. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Well, that's all I have prepared, if anyone...
I was going to ask, what is Joel going to be doing? Has he got...
Yes, so Joel is going to be doing a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission in Townsville.
Okay.
But that doesn't start till October. So at the moment, he's looking for some part-time work. If any of you are wanting to learn Indonesian, as a tutor Indonesian, but any other kind of part-time work, to save up for that. And so he's having a gap year, and then next year he plans to study business at University of Southern Queensland. So he'll be living with my dad, with his grandfather, keeping him company. So he'll have like 6 months away up at Townsville. And we didn't realize it when we ended up, when we were looking, because there's so many places you could do a DTS, but different ones just didn't. Joel was like, nah, that's not me, because there's like skydiving DTS, all driving DTS, maybe not skydiving, there's like surface DTS, Joel's not that kind of, he's not like, go out and do those kind of things, so he's like, oh, no, that's not me, nah. And then it just was like, this the one at Townsville, he felt, yeah, that one. And then we discover that their main outreach is mercy ships that go to Papua New Guinea. And so most likely for part of his outreach will be, he'll probably end up in Papua New Guinea, see where his mum grew up and stuff. So, yes, it's funny how God leads people. So that's his plan. So he's here until October, and then he'll be away 6 months, but then he'll be back for, a long time in foreseeable future. So, yes, in foreseeable future. So, Yes, that is Joel's plan. So you'll see him around. Yeah.
So you live in a Muslim community, do you?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that, how you interact with the people around you?
Yes. So Singkawang is quite a diverse community. So we have the Malay, which are predominantly Muslim, as well as there are people from other parts of Indonesia that have migrated. And where our house is like surrounded by Muslims, mainly from Madura behind our house. But there are also a lot of Chinese that were traditionally Buddhist or Confucius. And then there's the Dayak, which on their ID card says they're Christian, but a lot of them are still influenced by their animistic beliefs, and often it's just they don't have a personal faith, and so they easily convert to Islam to get promotion or if they marry. So for Johnny and I reaching out, it depends who we're reaching. So the way Paul said to the Jew, I became a Jew to the non-Jew. So Johnny, he's an amazing evangelist, and if he's reaching out to a Muslim person, he often uses the Quran and quotes things from the Quran, and he has his bushy white beard, and so often they think he's Muslim. And so he sort of, that's the way he bridges and starts the conversation, and then he starts asking them, like often if there's a need for prayer, if they're sick or looking for work or things, often he gets to pray for them. But often he just says, well, do you know the way, the truth and the life? And he says, like, you know, Muhammad didn't know the way. And he compares Muhammad and Jesus, and he said, Muhammad before he died didn't know the way, but you know, if you're going somewhere, do you want to go to heaven? And you want someone who knows where heaven is, don't you? And and so he has many opportunities to share the gospel. Through like sharing like, yeah, that the Bible has the truth and the way. For me, usually I'm sharing through building relationships with teaching English, and so for me, especially if there's like children, I can't be so overt sometimes. I still usually start my classes with prayer, and I try and use things like when it's Christmas or Easter, I have that as the theme of my lesson, and through that I get to share the gospel. So that's sort of the way I tend to reach out and share. And also like holidays, like the end of their fasting month, the Muslims have their open house, and so we get to go to their house, and then when it's Christmas, we have our open house, and they come to our house, and so through those ways, we get to share. Johnny often just gets to share with neighbours, sometimes they'll, because our shop opens on Sunday morning, and because Johnny goes to church in the evening, so sometimes the Muslims will be like, you know, why aren't you at church? You should be at church. And he could say, well, in our religion, we can be flexible. We don't have to pray at certain times. And we can, if we want to go and worship in the evening, we can worship in the evening. And so through that, he can share that he still has a strong relationship with God, and the difference in that, there's a lot more freedom, and it's a more personal relationship. And so through those ways, we get to share and witness to people. Yeah, I hope I answered your question. Kind of rambled on.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Or I think that's it.
Thanks, Gretel. Wow, that was just, yeah, I can just see Johnny doing that. He's, and I guess with his, because he's of the nationality, there's already a, you've already got a foot in the door.
Yes.
You know, which
so,
helps.
Yes. So he's done a lot of things. But yeah. Yeah, the foreigner, I can't
well, thank you so much. Lord, we just thank you for Gretel and for Johnny, Father, for what you've called them. We pray and ask, Father, that you would bless their ministries. You bless both of them, Lord. I just pray that they will be walking with Jesus all the way. Father, that they will be Jesus with skin on, that people will be drawn to them because of the joy of the Lord that they see in them. We also pray for Joel. We pray for his walk, Father. We pray that he'll have a great time with YWAM and with this course that he's doing. And Lord, we just we know that your hand is upon him and that you will have a journey that he will be going on. So Father, we just pray that you will protect the whole family, that you'll send angels to guard over them, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give them many seasons, many openings, and many opportunities to continue to share the love of Jesus with those that you put in their path. So bless her, bless Gretel, Lord, and this time that she's got home with her dad and the plan. So, Father, thank you for her and bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.